You know, every year we take 2 or 3 weeks out of the year and we have a series around the idea of vision. Vision meaning that God has something for your life individually that is bigger and beyond what you see. And when I say bigger, please don't equate just to things like, you know, a bigger home or cars. It's not, if God gives that to you, that's fine. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has a vision for your life that's bigger than what you see and that is beyond what you can do, which is why you need him to do it. And God wants to lift our identity of how we see ourselves. Some of us in this room and online, I can just feel it. Some of us think we're not worth it. We don't think God has anything for our life. But God has a purpose for your life. He made you. You're here because of God. And he wants to do something in your life that is beyond you, that will glorify him and that will make a difference both in this life and for eternity. And so we talk about this about 2 or 3 weeks, and we also weave in the vision of our church at City and fortify what we do, why we do it, and where we're going. And so we're starting this series today on vision, and I want to preach a message entitled Big God, Big Church. Everyone say, Big God, Big Church. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I want to read these verses. This is the Jesus before he's ascending back to the Father after his resurrection. He gives what we call the Great Commission. And this is really, to me, the mission of the church. Big church, meaning we're all on the same team who lift up Christ as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, died for our sins, was raised from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have different denominations, but we're on the same team that preach that gospel. So this is the Great Commission for the big church, and it's really the mission for every individual church. And it's important that we remember that and stay focused. And so notice here in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, Father, I thank you for this great worship. Please receive it today. We ask you for more Holy Spirit in this place. Please keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. And I pray that all of us would take the courageous step and lay down any resistance right now. Set aside any distraction, lean in for a few moments and receive something from you, and then apply it to our life. Jesus, we need you more than ever. And everyone said, amen. Probably my favorite quote. If someone would ask me, what is your favorite quote, leadership quote, whatever, I would go to this one right here. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. Now, Helen Keller was blind, and that was just one of her physical challenges in her life, and she helped shape American history. You and I, in our faith, when you and I receive Christ, he's in our heart, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and invariably, God is wanting to show you and I a vision for our individual lives that we cannot see in front of us. I thank God for eyesight. How about you? I thank God. I wear reading glasses now and I hate it. Come on. And I pray that all of us have good eyesight in this room and online. If you don't, we'll pray for it today. But you know what I pray for more? That all of us have eyes to see vision. That we can see beyond what we see in front of us and dare to dream that God can do something in our lives that's bigger than what we can do by ourselves. And that you and I would let God lift our identity past whatever that is, however we see ourselves, whatever our family came from, whatever we did in the past, what we're doing right now, that we would see past that and believe that God has a purpose and a vision for our lives. Can someone say amen? Because that's the Bible. And when you think about this passage, I think about big God, big church. I want to just focus on this first thought of big God. Notice here in verse 18, Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That makes me think of our God is big. I said, our God is big. And he made the heavens and the earth. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he framed or formed the worlds by his word. God did not make earth with a hammer and a saw. He made earth with his word. In fact, you know that scientists tell us that light is ever expanding in space. And of course it is, because in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God said, let there be light, and he never told it to stop. That's a bad dude, man. You better serve God today. Come on now. The Bible says that he made all the stars and gave them all a name. And so God, we in our solar system, the nine planets, all the stars, the galaxy, the Milky Way, all of that God did with his words. And then God made a man and a woman, made them a family, and Adam and Eve. And then now what we call from the Bible, the new covenant in the New Testament through Jesus, that you and I receive Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in, this big God lives in our mortal body. And yet you and I, all of us, are tempted to make God small. I would say if we're honest on a pretty common, often basis. In other words, we face a problem, we face a struggle, we're facing grief, we're facing a trauma, all these things are real, we're facing family dynamics, we're facing a job situation, finances, physical, and you and I are tempted to make God small and put him in a box based on that problem. We're tempted every day to do this. And if we're honest, we do this. We cave into it. And the problem that we face becomes huge and God becomes small. But the reality is there's no problem we will ever face that will ever be bigger than our God, because our God is bigger than anything and everything. So there's nothing we could ever face that would threaten God or stop his ability, because he's big and he's bigger than anything else. And so you and I can face anything in our life and always have hope and assurance that God can do something about it. Our challenge is to take that temptation and say, God, I refuse to make you small. I choose for you to be big. And that you and I would keep God big in our lives every day, meaning that he's able to do, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Nothing is impossible to him that believe. Mark 9:23. With God, nothing is impossible. Luke 1:37. I am the Lord God of your ancestors. Is anything too hard for me? This is the God I'm talking about. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in this verse, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Why is that? Because when he died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead physically, and walked the earth for a certain amount of days and then ascended, the Bible says in Hebrews that God exalted his name to be above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. When the judgment comes, when Jesus is revealed to the world, every knee shall bow, some willingly, some not. But when we see him, we'll be in awe of him. His name has been exalted. Today, folks, the name of Jesus is above poverty. The name of Jesus is above racism. The name of Jesus is above corruption. The name of Jesus is above abuse and trauma and cancer and sugar diabetes and anything else you and I could think about. The name of Jesus is above it. Now, sometimes we think, yeah, but Pastor, I've heard that, but I say Jesus, I don't feel anything. And sometimes I say Jesus, I don't feel anything either. We don't go by our feeling. We go by what the Bible says, that his position is he's been given all authority on earth and in heaven. That it's not based on my feeling. It's based on who he is. And that when I say Jesus, I'm calling on that big God. Jesus, I'm calling on the name above every name. When I say Jesus, I'm calling on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And there's something about the name Jesus that's powerful. And you and I have to just say in ourselves, I will not make God small. I refuse to. I choose to make him big every single day. He's able to do something I can't do for myself. My grandparents, after they were pastors here, after they transitioned to my parents, they had an RV and traveled coast to coast. And they were in a church parking lot one morning visiting a friend that was a pastor of a church in Tennessee. And early in the morning, a man and a woman knocked on their RV door, and my grandfather opened it, and the couple pushed their way into the RV, and he drew a gun and said, "Give me all your money." And my grandfather just felt that the gun wasn't loaded, and my grandmother, she loved her purse. She wouldn't give her purse to Jesus if he asked for it. And all the money was in the purse, and so this woman grabbed her purse and said, "Give me your purse," and she said, "No." And so they were going back and forth, and the guy hit my grandfather in the head and knocked him to the ground. And my grandmother was fighting over the purse, saying, "No, no," back and forth. And finally she said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Get out of our RV." And they just left. They just fled and left. And some people would say, "Oh, well, that's just coincidence." No, there's robberies every day that don't end that way. There's something about the name Jesus that rebukes the devil. I'm telling you right now, it will stop the agenda of hell. And if you don't feel it, just keep on saying Jesus till you do feel it. But you keep on going and you don't stop. Because our God is big. And what the devil wants is for you to have small thoughts about God, small thoughts about our life, small thoughts of what God can do, small, small, small. And the Bible says in Zechariah, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Nothing wrong with small beginnings, but we're not called to live small in our mind. In fact, the Israelites said, "We are grasshoppers." And God said, "No, you're not. You're the giant. The giants are the grasshoppers." God was trying to get his people to believe that with God, they could do anything. And I'm telling you, with God, you can run through an issue and leap over the wall of that issue. And God can do something in our lives that's bigger. And I want to encourage everyone here right now, listening to me, in the room and online, that you would let God expand the vision for your life. Please don't shrink God down to your box. "Well, God didn't do it for grandma. He's not going to do it for me. Well, my denomination didn't teach me that. It's not going to happen to me." Come on, stop that. We're talking about God. We're talking about God who made the heavens and the earth, who rules above it all and gave his son so that you and I could be saved and born again and go to heaven. We're talking about God who gave us promises, and he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. In other words, if he said it, he's got to do it, because God can't lie. What are you making God small about today? Before I move on, I want to encourage you. Here's how we change this. When you come into the church, when you do this at home, you can do it anywhere you want. But as you worship God, something happens when you worship. Now, I know people are taught different, do different. I'm not here to put you down. I'm just saying, here's what I believe. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. The Bible says, shout to God with a joyful noise. When I sing, it's a joyful noise. When some of you sing, I don't know what it is, but it is something. Amen. The Bible says, lift up your hands. There's something about it. Sometimes I come in here or I'm at home and I feel like I'm small and I feel God small because I'm looking at something I'm facing. How many have been there before? But then when I start worshiping God here with you or at home, something happens. An exchange happens. When we think God is small, it's because the problem is magnified and becomes huge. But when I worship, the problem gets shrunk down to size. And the God that's quote-unquote small gets magnified where he should be. And now all of a sudden, I realize that my God is bigger than my issue. And in worship, something happens on the inside of me, and I go from fearful to faith. I go from being overwhelmed to being at peace. I go from thinking God is small to, wait a minute, my God's bigger than this. He can do something about it. So I want to encourage you, when you come to City, sing with the worship team. The music up so loud, no one can hear you anyway. Just go ahead and sing. And then clap your hands, raise your hands. I know for some it's awkward. I'm not here to pressure you, but I'm here to lead you. And because when you worship, there is an exchange that happens. And something happens where problems get shrunk to size and God gets magnified to where he needs to be, which is above it all. Come on, give Jesus praise today. He's a good God. Our God is big. And I hope that everyone in this room will make God big in your life. He has a vision for your life that's bigger than you. He wants to do something in your life that can make a difference both now and for eternity. Christians and non-Christians alike, every human has born into them eight basic needs. One of those needs is to have the need of significance fulfilled. When we feel we're insignificant and that we're failures and that our life doesn't matter, we're in danger of a lot of bad things. But when I have a sense of purpose, that I'm here on purpose, that God wants to do something, it's not that I'm prideful, but my identity is lifted to a higher level. And no matter if I'm in a white-collar job, a blue-collar job, if I have a lot of money or I don't, if I have leadership or if I don't, it doesn't matter. Whatever I do has eternal significance because God can do something through me that impacts both now and for eternity. So when I think about God being big, let's segue big God, big church. Everyone say big church. Here's where I get big church. Here's the mission that Jesus gave you and I. Because he's been given all authority, because he's big in heaven and earth, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach new disciples to obey all the commands. And then he says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Notice in the book of Revelation that I quoted a minute ago, John saw every nationality in heaven. When the church started in Acts chapter 2, 18 nations are represented there in that moment of the upper room that heard the initial evidence and the initial flow of the Holy Spirit. What that tells me is that God loves every nation. The church started in diversity. The church started being diverse. It started in international connection. Jesus wants to save every nationality, every ethnicity. Everyone is someone to Jesus. And Jesus, the mission of the church is that you and I go into all the world. Now, that could be our world, meaning our home, our neighborhood, our work, our city, the world that we live in, and it could be for others, the world. But Jesus is asking you and I to go into the world and help other people come to him. What's the idea of big church? Because you and I've seen over the years, and in my life, I'm tempted to make God small. And then with church, I feel like God gave me a vision for the church when it was really small, that we could do more. But I've seen people over the years take the same temptation, make God small and then make church small. And it's a mistake. Both are a mistake. And then with church, it's like people have thoughts of, I don't want our church to grow. I have to know everybody that goes to my church. I want the same seat and I want to sit in the same seat. And if someone sits in my seat, they got to get out of it because it's my seat. And if someone sat in your seat today, it's because I believe God loves them more than you. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want our church to grow. I don't want this to change. I don't want them to do new things. I don't want them to branch out. I got to know everybody. I got to have him in my control. I want it my style. I want it my way. I want church to be the way I was raised in it. Taking church and make it small thoughts, small mentality, us four and no more, big is bad. Who said that? God didn't. You and I have to understand that God is big and he wants his church big, not just in numbers. What are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus saving people from their sin. Jesus wants to reach people with the gospel. Jesus wants to redeem people. He wants to save us, folks. He wants us then to be used by God to help other people be saved. This idea, and let me tell you something. Here's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants churches small, ignored, insignificant, broke, shut down, and no one cares if they meet or not. What God wants is local churches growing, thriving, serving, blessing their city, making a difference. People know them. They magnify Jesus. The Bible says, lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men are drawn to me. And Jesus wants churches to have wherewithal to meet the needs of people that can't give anything back and to fulfill the commission of the gospel. That's what God wants. God doesn't want nightclubs and bars and pimps and drug dealers thriving and churches shrinking. We got it backwards. We want to shut the nightclubs down. Some of you don't like what I just said, but I just said it. I'm going to say it again. God wants nightclubs to be turned around to a temple of praise where people go in and stop hooking up and start worshiping God and have a change. That drug dealers get put out of business because people stop using drugs and they're delivered by the power of God. That pimps can't pimp out people anymore because they're free by the power of God. I'm preaching good right now. I feel good right now. I remember when I was a kid, I would see, and maybe it still happens. I'm not making fun of people, but I'm having fun. There's a difference. And I remember the older saints, and I've seen people do it in different churches, and they would shake their face and their chins would, you know, oh, God. How many ever heard someone do like that before? Oh, God. The devil is bigger and badder than ever before. Oh, God. No one's coming to church anymore. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, who does that? You go to the bank and say, I want to make a withdrawal. You go to a restaurant and say, I want an iced tea. Someone say, you're a weirdo, man. Get out of here. Why do we do that about God? Coming into church and talking foolishness. I don't know if God can do it anymore. Oh, the devil's just running. Wait, who said that? That's religion. What's God saying? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. What's God saying? I can save anyone from the uttermost to the guttermost. What's God saying? I can change a family. I can change a man. I can change a woman. I can change a teenager. I can change a family. I can change a neighborhood. I can take the hood and turn it around. I can take a drug neighborhood and turn it around. And I can go to the mansion and turn it around. I can go to the White House and turn it around. That's what God's saying. Amen. And so let's just believe that the church can do what God said it's supposed to do. So God did his part. Jesus died and was raised from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and now he's asking you and I to go. He's waiting on you and I just to go and do it and be a part of what Jesus is doing. Some people teach, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. That's half true. Because if God does anything in our life that we can't do, God's Spirit does it. But guess what? God needs you and I to go to do it. He told us here in this passage, I said go. He said to go into all the world. He's not waiting on us. God, I just don't know what you want me to do. He said, yeah, you do. I just read it in the Bible. No, I mean, what you want me to do? Go. But really, Lord, come on. Really? He said, I said go. But just hold on a second. Just time out. Me? I'm struggling. Go. I'm still battling addiction. Go. I lost my marriage. Go. I deal with doubt. Go. I struggle at times to believe. Go. My bills aren't paid. Go. I got mental trouble. Go. And I know we should be receiving, and yes, there's a place for that. Please understand and balance what I'm saying. I'm also saying that you and I need to go. And we need to do. Because James said, our faith without works is incomplete. You and I have to have works with faith. So God wants us to go so that he can move. When I go, God goes. When I step out, he steps out with me. When I speak, he's speaking with me. When I reach out and touch, he's touching through me. And he can do the same through everyone in this room and online. Big God, big church. In my remaining time, I want to do this succinctly. How do we do this at City? How do we fulfill what Jesus is saying to do here in this passage? And this is where I want to segue personal vision to church vision. And I want to capture your heart and let you see what God wants, I believe, us to do and what you can do in the body of Christ. First off, we encapsulate the Great Commission with our personal vision that I believe is in Scripture, which, and we make it short, love, build, lead. Everyone say love, build, and lead. First off, we love people. What does that mean? Everyone's welcomed at City Church. Everyone is someone to Jesus. Jesus receives all of us as we are. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, he changes us to who we can become. Everyone needs to be treated with dignity and respect. And we want to do our best to do that here at City Church. that everyone is someone to Christ, and we do not want to make it hard for people to come to Jesus. And sometimes, fortunately, churches make it really hard to come to Jesus, and that is wrong. Because Christ made it really easy for the woman caught in adultery. He made it really easy for the woman that was on her sixth man. He made it really easy for the thief that was stealing money from his own people named Zacchaeus. He made it really easy for a loudmouthed, foolish man named Peter. He made it really, really easy for Nicodemus and all the people he connected with. And that's what we do at City. We love people. We call these worship experiences because I want to preach messages that, sure, expand your knowledge and help you grow in the Bible and understand what the Bible says, make it real simple. To me, messages need to be simple. If you're leaving here thinking, I don't know what he said, then that's not a good message. So I try to have very simple points so that you and I can process. And when you're leaving here, watching the Pacers play on Thursday night, come on, game one of the finals, you can think, God is big. Lord, let the Pacers win. Amen. And then you can see your neighbor and think, wait a minute, big church. God loves my neighbor. God's trying to reach him. But more than your mind being expanded, we call these worship experiences because we want you and I to experience the living God. When you and I experience the Holy Spirit, it marks our life and changes us. This is not just to be some mental exercise. You and I can encounter the living God. When I mean encounter, I mean his presence can touch your body. You can be moved to emotion. You can be marked by the Holy Spirit, and you will never forget that. You may forget messages, but you will never forget when God touched you. And at City Church, we're not a social club. We're not Bible snobs. We're not here to take our Bibles and, shoo away all the people we don't like and put people down and use the Bible to cause a divide. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. John 14, 15, and 16. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of its sin. We're a hospital here. What's that mean? That means all of us are just a little bit crazy, a little bit weird, and need a little bit of help. Come on now. Elbow your neighbor and say, I know that's right. And if that offends you, God will help you get over it. Because we're all human and we're flawed, and all of us need more of Jesus every single day. So we're a hospital where people can be real, not judged, and come into the presence of God and have wherever they're at in their journey of faith, they can start there, go at their pace, and encounter God and be moved on by the living God. And then I would say move forward one step at a time. Come on, we love people in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you even this Wednesday. This Wednesday is revival night. Once a month, we do extended worship. We do water baptisms. We have personal ministry time. We have a great message. Then we have an after party. That's this coming Wednesday. If you want to get water baptized, sign up. But come Wednesday, let's move into the presence of God. Let's experience the living God because God will move. So we love people. Number two, we build family. Everyone say build family. We love family. God loves family. God made a family before he made the church. And one way we build family is we invest in City Kids. Can we give it up for Pastor Nikki and her team to do a great job in City Kids teaching our children? We give them a little bit of sugar and a lot more Jesus. Come on now. But we do our best for the children. Pastor Cam does an amazing job on Wednesday night with the teenagers, the Movement Youth Group. Then we have The Loft on Tuesday night with young adults, college students, and young professionals. We have a great leadership team, Pastor Jake, Ted, others. I can't name all the leaders right now, but we have a great team. Listen to me. At City Church, we invest thousands of dollars in the now generation, and I will never stop. In fact, I will increase that investment because we will not be it. There's too many churches that close the doors because they have physically died out because they don't have anyone young, and that's a shame. At City Church, we are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, grandparent, parent, and young person. And we will invest in the now generation and see them on fire for God, children, teenagers, college students, young adults, set afire by the Holy Spirit in changing our world. Come on. We believe in the now generation. I want to encourage you, if you have a child, send them to Summerfest. That's coming up. You can learn about it on the worship guide or on the website, Summerfest. They'll have a good time during the day. If you need a break from your kids, drop them off. But they'll be taught Jesus and have a good time. Teenagers, parents of teens, in July, the youth group goes back to their annual camp. Really want to, I know I joke sometimes about making your kids go. I did that in the first worship experience. Who's in charge? Who's paying the cell phone bill? Who's paying the light bill? But more serious, parents, give your kids a chance to experience God. Now, my boys play travel basketball. They're busy, driving 8 hours. I mean, it's a lot. My daughter does gymnastics. My other son runs. Trust me, I understand it. We're into travel sports. I'm not hating on it. But you best believe that in our house, sports will not outweigh God. And for me, I'm leading my kids into the presence of God. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I know I was changed by my parents bringing me into atmospheres where God was moving. So I just want to just challenge you, take your kids to Summerfest and your teens to youth camp. And if you need help financially, we have money set aside for some scholarships. But I'm just saying a lot of our teens have been touched by God, called by God in those moments of unashamed worship. And if we can drive them to basketball games, we can send them to youth camp. Because what's more important, basketball is going to end. Now, if my sons make it to the NBA, they're going to give God a tithe and give me some money. Come on, somebody. But you know what? Basketball will end, but God won't. If we make a mistake, we sacrifice our kids' faith on the altar of sports or anything else for that matter, robotics, anything. What's the smart people? Spelling bee. You can tell I didn't do that. Physic team, what's it, robotic, what's the other team? You get what I'm saying. I didn't do that. I got straight A's in recess and gym, and they didn't grade recess. So anybody with me on that? Anybody else got that grade too? God bless you. We're the cool ones, that's what I'm saying. We build family. We have groups here at City Church. Really want to encourage you. I mean, this is not to contradict the message, but groups help this big church become small. Small meaning you can have personal relationships, not get lost in the crowd. Last semester, we had over 1,400 people in groups. But when you get into groups, you can meet people, and some of those people you're going to develop true relationship, like a deep relationship with, and you can confide anything with. If you sign up for a group, it doesn't work, don't quit. Join another group. But have relationship and give yourself a chance to bond and connect. Then we have freedom nights after the group semester. We have retreats and other things to help you grow in your faith and move forward and be touched by the Holy Spirit. We want to build family. At City Church, men, listen to me. Intermen online, you will never hear me bash you. I can't stand when churches put down men. Men, you are awesome. You have great potential. We need you to be men of God. We need you to lead your family, whether you're married or single. Doesn't matter your stage of life. We need you to be a praying man, a godly man. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect, but you're doing your best and you're going to worship God. People, older men, younger men, and women need to see men raising their hands and worshiping God. If we can shout at a football game, how come we can't shout for our God? And men, you have great power and authority. You can love your kids and love your wife or your future wife, and you can set the precedent for blessings for generations to come. Ladies, married or not, we need you. We need you to be women of God, that your beauty is on the outside and on the inside, that you're developing your faith. There's something about the prayers of a woman that move God and move in a house. And the Bible says that daughters are beautified pillars in the house of God. We need you, ladies, to be all God's called you to be. So I'm determined to raise up strong men in this church. I'm determined to raise up strong women in this church. I'm determined to raise up strong kids in this church. I'm determined to raise up strong teenagers in this church. I'm determined to raise up strong young adults in this church. And they're going to be business people, judges, politicians, and people that move heaven and earth. Because when the church builds family, God can move. Come on, give Jesus praise. You can do it. Amen. I'm almost done. I'm sorry. Thank you for getting excited. I'm almost done. Lastly, we lead to destiny. Love people, build family, lead to destiny. Everyone say lead to destiny. What does that mean? That simply means we just want to help you find your purpose. I'll go back to my first point. God is big and he has a big vision for your life. Please don't live in Smallville. Don't live in God's small and I'm small. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter where you come from. God can do something in your life that's bigger than you, that makes a difference both now and for eternity. This is not hyperbole. This is the power of the gospel. When this God in this book gets in your life, he can do anything through you. And I want to encourage you, we want to help you find it. So at City Church, one way we can do that is the Dream Team. Can we give it up for the Dream Team? That's all the volunteers in this church serving you. Listen, we want, the Dream Team is a great way for you to discover, this is important. We find out our gifts and passion by doing something for God, trying different things. Just try it. At City Church, in this context, the Dream Team is a great way just to volunteer and find different things. And some people are so tight and just like so fearful. The church isn't going to use me. No one's going to use me. Stop. I'm not trying to use you. The issue is God is trying to use you. God is trying to use you for his glory. God's trying to use your gifts and talents to help the body of Christ so that someone else can be saved. So I want to challenge you, think about joining the Dream Team. In fact, today, after this worship experience, is Next Steps. Next Steps is in the Next Steps room, and Next Steps is really just an on-ramp into our church. Introduces you to the church, our cores, beliefs, what we do, why we do it, and it helps us meet you and see how we can help you move forward in your faith. People come to church and they're so tight-fisted and just clenched, like, stop, just relax. Listen, you don't have to join any Dream Team. You don't have to volunteer. You don't have to give anything in terms of finances to worship Jesus that way to be a part of our church. This is not, I give you, you give me. We're not doing that here. But everyone's welcomed here. We're going to treat everyone here with the same respect and dignity, whether you give or not, or volunteer or not. This is just you and God, letting God deal with you, and you move forward in your faith. Because the greatest thing you can give City Church, the greatest thing every one of you can give City Church, is your living faith in a relationship with Jesus. And if all of us will just do that and then let God deal with us and let God move us down the road of our faith in the pace and the place of the Holy Spirit, then he will open up those doors and help you. I'm giving you avenues to help you move forward in your faith. But let's get rid of suspicion and cynicism. Because maybe in other churches, but in this place, we're not perfect, but in this place, I'm not here to use you. But I am telling you, God's trying to use you. God's trying to come through your life. God's trying to elevate your identity and help you make a difference. And in the body of Christ, you can do that by being on the parking team, making coffee, shaking hands, passing out worship and guides, because Jesus makes this, he makes this equal, that all of us are equal at the cross. I'm a pastor, but I'm not better than you. Every one of us is the same. And the worship people and the City Kids team member and the parking attendant is all the same. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded by God. And so this is not a hierarchy. We're a family. And God can use us. So think about that. I believe at some point, saved people do serve people. At some point. And so ask God to help you. So Next Steps is right over here. And so I want to encourage you to think about, it's about 45 minutes to an hour. If you have time today, hang out. Learn about us. We want to learn about you. Help you to move forward in our or in your faith. Lead is another thing. We give you the chance to lead groups and be a leader. We have internships, mission trips, development. We want to help you become who God has called you to be. How many believe that Jesus can do something in your life and use you in the local church? I want to end with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord, this is about the coming of Jesus. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. This fall, we're going to do a multimedia message about the end times. It'll be really cool. It's going to be a really cool message. And I love the end times. But in this verse, and since 2020, is this the end? And is Jesus coming back? And the signs of political powers and all this stuff, all that's true. But in this verse, The reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he's trying to save people. What if all of us, not saying some of us are, but just bear with me. What if all of us would let go of who's the Antichrist and care more about who's our neighbor? Be more fired up about our neighbor, coworker coming to Jesus than getting worked up about government, whether we're for or against whoever's in office. Because God's called us to make a difference for eternity. And so at City Church, I'm not going to lead us into sideshows of politics, sideshows of other things. We're going to be pretty much the same thing. Great Commission. Let's go. Let's show the love of God. Let's build family. Let's lead to destiny. Let's let people see Jesus. Let's move forward in our faith. Let's let God be God. And let's see if we can see a city and a region and an area shaken by the power of God. How many believe that God can do it? I believe he can. And so here's what I'm going to have you pray about. Our goal is to go downtown in the fall for our downtown campus. Our goal is to have 300 people go from the Eastside campus to the downtown campus to help launch. Our goal is to add 300 new Dream Team members, additional Dream Team members to our team at the Eastside location, because quite frankly, we could use more assistance to do our best for other families and people coming. And then our goal is for downtown, out of that 300 people, is to have 100 Dream Team members helping the function of the downtown. And so I'm going to ask you to pray and see if God would lead you to be a part of what we're doing. And you would take your next step and see what Jesus would have you to do. Because Jesus wants us to save people. So far this year, 1,033 people have come to Christ. That's the greatest number. And more can be saved. I want you to be in prayer. We've put an offer on a building downtown. We're waiting to hear back from them. If they accept that offer, it's not set yet because we have to deal with the city. So I'm asking you to be in prayer and ask God's favor to help us, because in Jesus' name, we're going to see people come to Christ. We're going to reach out. We're not going to be small. Big God, big church. In our heart, God can do something through us individually and as a group, and we can see God move in our lives. Can someone say amen today? Go ahead and bow your head and bow your heart to heaven. If you never have received Christ in your life, that means you've never said, Jesus, save me, in the room and online. Others would say, I have done that, but I've drifted from God. I don't have peace with God today. I'm going to ask you to make a step in your faith and come back to Jesus or receive him for the first time. And if that's you today and you've never done that, we're not here to embarrass you, but we're here to help you. And you would say, that's me. I want Jesus. Right now, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you to come to Christ today and receive him. Thank you. God bless you. Good. God bless you today. Good. Thank you. Good. God bless you. I see it in the back. Thank you so much. How many would say, I'm tempted to make God small? I'm facing something. I'm tempted to make him small in my life. I'm tempted to think about his movement, his church small, and I want God to help me. Go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. My heart is yours. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I choose to make you big every day in my life and use me for your glory to make a difference for eternity. Let your church grow so that people may be saved. In Jesus' name.